You'll go to any other restaurant and you'll pay for the privilege of having someone kill you. And then when it affects you mentally and spiritually and emotionally, and you have like a house that's a pack of wild animals. And I walk into houses like that all the time. No, Daddy, no, I don't want to do that. They sprayed their territory, didn't they?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to go there. They sprayed their territory again, didn't they? Well, you come over here. They sprayed his too. I don't put up with that. Well, you're a beast. I don't love. She sprayed hers too, didn't she? So what do we have? We have a home divided. A house divided against itself will fall. Why? Because everybody's spraying off their territory, aren't they? Always PO'd over one thing or another. We can't do this. Oh, well, what's the matter? Well, I don't know. She's giving me a dirty look. I know whenever she gets like that, I know. Well, she just sprayed, didn't she? She just marked off her territory, didn't she? Beast. And then here's what amazes me, guys. You come sniffing around that just like an animal. Or vice versa. Can't you see, and I'm going to show you tonight, animalistic behavior in the church of the living God in his family is sickness. But I'm going to show you by behavior how you act like animals at home. And I've told you why. Transfusion. You're taking on the passion, the temperament, and the disposition of animals. I'll show you one example just in leaving. Yeah, I'll give you 10 minutes. That's a good enough deal. Most animals, the female is very receptive to the male until the cubs are born. And then when the cubs are born, guys, you can forget it. Because she's out busy grazing and feeding, and there isn't really a whole lot for you. You're just kind of on the outskirts until the cubs grow and go, and then you have use again. That's animalistic. See, too many women in this church, you're acting like animals who just had cubs and have no longer use for your mates temporarily. One of these days you're going to wake up and they're going to be gone. And then you're going to see and understand the value of having a mate, a right mate. Now some people would say, well, my mate's not there. You got to thank God. See, if you change and he's no longer a mate, or he changed and you're no longer a mate, then that's what's going to happen. You got to change together, or you won't stay together. So if you've changed for the better and he didn't or she didn't, you're no longer a mate. Instead of moaning and groaning and complaining, you got to thank God for it. I did. For a long time, I did. Years. And you say, oh, it's been 2 days, it's been a week, it's been a month, it's been a... Come on. Give me a break, will you?
Yeah.
You see, we agreed that you didn't want another one like that. Okay, so if you don't want another one like that, then you have to change.
Right.
Or you'll get another one like that. So is God holding up the show?
Yeah.
No. You don't want to change, do you? And you said, Lord, I don't want another one like this. And the Lord says, well, child, you ain't changed. And you don't want another one like you, so I'll just wait until you change. Oh, Lord, this is so cruel. No, I'm still not changed. Huh? You can wait as long as you want. You have to make one of two decisions. You want another one just like you, or change. Well, if you want to wait, you go ahead and wait. Don't cry in your milk. Cry over spilt milk. It's about time to wean. I'm telling you. When you come back tonight and you find out about this transfusion business, you're going to say, how in the world could I not have seen that? And you're going to see yourself in your temperament, how things make you so angry, and how for someone to come on your territory, someone to dare to say to you, oh, they think my child is this. Man, they crossed the line, didn't they? My God in heaven, well, this territorial beast will fang right away, and the battle is on. And he was just walking. He was just going somewhere else. I mean, brother, let's live in peace. I'm just an advocate of no longer living like animals. And the only way to do it is quit covering the blood. Quit covering your sin with others' blood. And start confessing and take it away with the shed blood of Christ. Come back tonight and we'll show you about the transfusion. You're going to learn some things that doctors don't even know. Brother Duane, would you close the service in prayer? I only gave you 5 minutes. Unity and the honor for preaching and teaching your word. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the truth. I thank you, Father, that you require nothing of me but that I offer you the shed blood of Christ. I have no excuses to cover my sin. I have no one else to blame, no one else's blood. I choose not to cover, but rather to wipe away and do away with sin by putting it under the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you remember in 3 John, and I'll just read it and we'll deal with the last soul in there, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The writer here is telling us that your soul, this soul, is going to be the controlling factor for your health and your business. Because if you remember, the first prosper meant to succeed in business. Health meant to be uncorrupt or true in doctrine, to have a sound body, to have sound health. And then soul meant the animal sentient principle only, which means that you perceive by the senses. So it's that part of you, that sensual part of you that uses the five senses. It has nothing to do with the word soul, the Greek word that is interpreted the immortal soul, or the Greek word that is interpreted vitality. So it is obvious there are three Greek words, all interpreted in the English soul, so there's obviously three parts of a soul. And that is in consistency with everything that God created, because everything that he creates is in threes. Because everything is in the image and likeness of God, and he is a triune God. So we learn that the sentient principle is the ability to see, hear, touch, smell, and taste. So God wants that part of you to be true in doctrine, to be healthy, to be well-fed, and obviously the only way you can do it is to see the right things, hear the right things, touch, smell, and taste the right things. So that obviously has to do with what you see, what you hear, and what you eat. And that's what controls everything that we're talking about in the Christian life. So you see, it doesn't have to do with some inert kind of spiritual strength that some of us possess and the rest do not. That would make God a respecter of persons. And we could legitimately say, well, you gave her or him more faith than you gave me. And that's simply not true. For the Bible says that we have all received the measure of faith. Not a measure, the measure. Which means there's only one amount of faith that everyone gets. Now, it's what you do with that faith that's important. So it is obvious this sentient principle, this prospering soul, God wants you to know, has to do with what you see, hear, touch, smell, and taste. Now, we're going to start talking in Genesis 9:4 about what you shouldn't smell or taste. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Now, if you remember, the word flesh meant that is used to incite people to, or animals to hunt and kill. It means to prepare or incite to bloodshed. Now, you always remember, and I gave you the analogy of hunting animals, and how their disposition changes as soon as the female weans them from the milk and puts them on flesh and blood. They become snarling killers of the jungle, which in due time, in a very short time, can't even stand their own mother. They can't stand each other. They become solitary animals, hunting by themselves. And although there are some that share the kill, which are lions, as a rule, predators are solitary animals. So what the Lord is saying here, don't eat that incites you or changes your personality. But it goes beyond that. He also said, don't see or hear. In other words, don't be looking for the wrong in people, and don't be willing to hear about what's wrong in people. So you see, those are all the things that will change your disposition and turn you, as it were, into a snarling, hunting animal who then becomes conditioned to blood, and then you become a gossip monger the rest of your life. All you want to do is hear what's wrong. And then if you happen to be blessed with a church like ours, where it's like pulling teeth to hear what's wrong with one another, unless it happens to be me you're talking about, then it's easier. Then you want to hear about what's wrong with everybody else. Soap operas become important. The news becomes important. See, I can save you the trouble. I can tell you prophecy coming up. Tomorrow's news today. It's going to be worse than today. Ain't nothing gets better without the Lord. And the Lord is not in the world. They will not accept him. So it's going to be worse tomorrow than it was today. So you just take today and multiply it by one. That's tomorrow. It's very simple. Now, on the other side of the coin, if you have the Lord in your life, take today and multiply it by one, and you got tomorrow. It's going to get better. So if your tomorrow is worse than today, well, then you know what your today is all about. So he says, eat not the flesh with the life, which is the blood. In other words, it's the flesh becomes like a hypodermic needle in which the enemy uses to give you a transfusion to get the blood of an animal into your blood system. Now, if you remember, blood meant bloodshed because of blood guiltness and thus becoming bloodthirsty. You see how important blood is to the human race? And for those that reject the blood of Christ, they opt for the blood of animals. And ultimately for the blood of each other. And I think it's disgusting myself. I would rather count as at least honest a person that would come and attempt to slice your throat physically than one who comes and tries to slice your throat spiritually and emotionally and psychologically. They're both hunters and killers. And the reason they are that is because they have changed the mentality or the temperament of Jesus Christ and have decided to become animals instead. Now, there are some that have already said, but I stopped eating meat a long time ago. Understand this, meat is the way that that got in. After that came sugar and spice and alcohol and all the cigarettes and all that other stuff. Remember, blood or flesh is used to deaden you. Remember what it meant. It meant to inure. It meant to get you ready for something that's painful, something that's not good, to make you habitual. So you see, the blood is used to get you ready to be addicted to anything that's habitual. Now, you can stop eating the meat, and I'm glad that for those of you that have, those of you that haven't, that's fine too. But you see, having stopped that, now we have to deal with all of those things that gave you the appetite or the things that you had the appetite for because of the meat that you ate, which is the blood of your brothers and sisters plus the blood of everything else. See, people just don't want to eat corn. See, they don't want to eat, they want the blood, which ultimately ends up whiskey. Now, potatoes are good, but no, they want vodka instead. So what have they become? They've become bloodthirsty. See, even the animals, they want to, even the plants, they want to distill out and ferment and turn it into something that's akin to the animal blood. So you see, what it happens is your body then becomes addicted and you develop a hunger for everything that's wrong in everything. So you see, you cannot just stop and say, okay, now I've stopped eating meat, but boy, I still like to talk about my brother and sister, and I'm still going to blame everybody for everything I do. You're just as bloodthirsty as ever. You might as well put on some paint and some feathers and buy a spear and go out and do it right. Be honest about it. I mean, ain't no sense lying. You've become a blood brother with animals. Now, blood brother means a person bound to another by mingling his blood with your own. That's a blood brother. So whatever you mingle, whomever or whatever blood you mingle with your own, you become a blood brother, or you have a transfusion. Now, this is why the Lord says, don't eat this stuff. It's the method that Satan uses to give you a transfusion. Now, transfuse or transfusion means to pour something from one container into another. In other words, to pour out the blood of beasts, which is the container, into, but it isn't all at once because it would kill you right away, drop by drop, just like they do it in the hospital, drop at a time. See, your body has to become accustomed to it. Your body has to become used to this assault on its system. And it can only be done one drop at a time. It has to be transfused. But so that you can understand what happens when you have a transfusion, it means that you become a blood brother, or you become like another individual. Now, when someone, and you know how I have treated you, now when someone comes up and starts talking to you about what they say I did to them, and then you start feeling bad toward me, you become a blood brother with them. So you see what they, and they did it a drop at a time. And let me tell you how transfusion works, because this is why you have the appetites that you have, this is why you eat the way that you do, and this is why even though you get rid of a particular part of your diet, you have a desire to substitute something else that picks up the slack, so that the end result is the same amount of toxicity, the same amount of blood brotherhood with the same wrong. Now understand this, spirits all need food, all of them. Now, because they are spiritual, they obviously do not need physical food. They need spiritual food. So what do they need? They need to hear bad things if they're bad spirits, and the truth if they're the right spirits. But it comes by transfusion. Now, let me tell you how a transfusion works. This is how you get addicted. I don't care if it's to alcohol, to temper, to depression, to food, to anxiety, to pride, to ego, to conceit. Here is the way. It's by transfusion. Transfusion means basically four things. To permeate, that has to happen first. By instilling, imbuing, and infusing. Four things have to happen for you to have this transfusion. Now understand how important this is. First, it has to permeate. Permeate means to pass from one into another and through in order to affect every part of. In other words, whatever you eat, and any doctor will tell you, whatever you drink, whatever you see, whatever you hear is going to come in, through, and affect every part of you. You might as well understand that. Now, if that works on the negative side, it obviously works on the positive side. That's why you see so few people here, and the ranks are thinned out every now and then, because they don't want every part affected. Yeah. See, they sit there and say, affect her parts. How about working on his parts, but leave my parts alone? Brother and sister, parts is parts. I can make no distinction between the two. The fact of the matter is, you're either going to be permeated by the truth, by the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to be permeated by what's wrong out there. But whatever you choose, it's going to pass in, through, and it's going to affect every part of you. Every part of you. So that's the beginning, to permeate. As a matter of fact, that's the end result. In order to permeate, you must instill. Now, instill means to put in drop by drop by drop. It's a transfusion, isn't it? To put into use little by little, isn't that the way an addiction is? You put something into use little by little by little. Then the accumulation of that little bit starts accumulating in your body, and you build up a tolerance level, so the little now has to be a little more, and a little more, and a little more. Now that accumulates to a tolerance level, then you need a little more than the little more that was the little to begin with.
So you see, the dosages increase, they accumulate, tolerance level goes up, then you increase dosage. So one day, you OD. Now, you understand how that works with drugs, and you'll accept that, but you will not understand how that works with the poison that you have for one another. You start looking for ways to be mean and mad at each other, your children. Now, I am a strict disciplinarian, as you know. But I know one thing, your kids do not hate me. I don't care what they say, because I see how they act, and I see how they react, and I see how they mind me. Well, what's different about me and you? Nothing except that I don't get mad at them. I don't take it personal. I'm not upset at them. And it's easy for me to do that because they're not reflecting me, they're reflecting you. So you see, my pride doesn't come into effect, yours does. Now, I'm not saying I'm better than you, I'm saying I'm different. I don't have that problem. And I thank God for it. That's why I can stand up here and tell you these things. So you see, this permeation, when it finally affects everything, comes in drop by drop by drop. So when your kids tell you, it's just a little. I didn't mean to. I didn't do a lot. Yes, Mom, I'll do it in a minute. That's a drop. The minute is going to be 2 minutes later. And later it's going to be 5 minutes. And one day she's going to say, stick it in your ear, old lady, I'm not doing it at all. And if you don't shut up, I'll drop you. Little by little, it got to be a lot by lot, didn't it? Well, you see, I've always been of the opinion. See, my boys are big now. They're tall, big, strong guys. I beat the hell out of them while I could. I mean, I set the record straight. And I told him, man, one day you're going to be big enough to do it. But I told both of my boys, if you ever decide to pick up a hand to me, you better finish me. You better not leave a breath of life, because one day I will recover. And when I do, I'm coming after you, boy, and I'm going to put you away. I mean, you better kill me. Don't ever think of beating your dad up. Kill him if you're going to do it. Don't you ever come after me unless you're going to finish the job. Because if I have to get you in the middle of the night, come behind you with a stick, however, I'm going to get you, boy. Don't you ever raise your hand at me unless you decide you're going to finish. You come with murder in your eyes if you're going to do it. Don't leave it halfway done. And I mean it. I couldn't stop them. But I'll tell you, they better not leave a breath of life in me, because they'll regret the very short life they have. As Cosby said, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. And I'll call it self-defense, because that's exactly what it'll be. Just because they're my sons, if someone else attacked me like that, I'd do the same thing, and it would be self-defense. But you better establish that while you still can, but not in anger. I did it very calmly, and then I beat the hell out of both of them. So they know I mean it. No, they don't agree. They stay the hell away from me, and that's okay, because I respect their right to think whatever they want. You just think it in your own territory. And I'll do the same, thank you. And one day we'll get to heaven and you can tell me, I'm sorry, Dad, you were right. And I say, I knew it all the time. But you see, this is a passing breath. We'll have a lot of time up there. I don't think the Lord will let me spank him up there, but maybe a verbal lashing or something. I don't know. That's not important. But you see, this is instilled drop by drop. Now, once you do that, well, how does that happen? Well, it's by imbuing. You imbue to instill, to permeate. See, this is the way the enemy gets you now. It's so subtle. It comes so simple. It seems so innocent. But the end result is to permeate. But you see, now that before they can instill, they must imbue. Imbue means to inspire with principles, ideas, and emotions. Isn't that amazing? Before you can have this transfusion, this blood transfusion, what is God saying? Don't get inspired with the principles, the ideas, and the emotions of an animal. Don't live like an animal lives, wanting another person to give up their life in order for you to live. Man, you're an animal when you insist that your wife give up everything in order to please you.
That's a predatory animal that says, you give up your life so that I can live. We'll go where we want to go, when I want to go, and if I want to go. And I say, no, I will go where I want to go, but if you want to go somewhere else, go. See, I don't want you to give up your life. Now, if you want to willingly follow, that's another issue. But I'm not going to hunt you and require that you give up anything in order to make my life I'm happy with or without. Got along without you before I met you, and as the song goes, I get along without you now. So you see, the Lord is saying, do not be imbued or inspired with the principles, the ideas, and the emotions of an animal. I'm going to prove to you that you're an animal before this is over. Now, the whole process starts of transfusing by infusing. Infuse, imbue, instill, permeate. Infuse the slow introduction of a solution into the body, specifically into a vein. Now, everything that you eat, drop by drop in your stomach, is like a distillery in there. Drop by drop, it starts filtering into your bloodstream. Now, how does it get into your bloodstream? Into the veins, of course. So in order to infuse, you have a slow introduction of a solution into the body through a vein. Now, that then inspires you with principles, ideas, and emotions, little by little by little, until they get into you and affect every part of you. That's basically what the Lord is saying here. That's a perfect analogy of every addiction that there is. I don't care what kind of addiction. If I could get a hold of people and explain this to them and show them how they got in, once you know how you got in, you just reverse it and that's how you get out. But you see, people don't want to understand that. It's the ideas, it's the principles, it's the emotions. You didn't start on drugs immediately. You started on something drop by drop, little by little, way back then, that then gave you the notion, the desire that you had to have something to inspire you, something to give you strength, something to get you high, something to get you going, just like an animal. They have to have that sudden rush of adrenaline, that sudden burst of speed, that sudden strength that they have to grab something by the throat and snap it or hang on until they suffocate the animal by cutting off the air. And then after that, they got to go to sleep, don't they? Sometimes they're too tired to eat. They got to sleep first. Well, what are they? They're onto these highs. They enjoy the hunt. It's more fun to hunt almost than to eat because it gives such a rush, such a high. They're addicted. They're animals. See, so the flesh is used to get the blood mingled with your own blood. That's basically how Satan turns you into an animal. Now, look at verse 5 of chapter 9. If you eat the blood, he says, I don't want you to eat the flesh or the blood thereof, which is the life. But if you do, and surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. In other words, if you mingle the blood of a beast with yours, he says, then your life will I require at the hand of every beast. At the hand of every beast. Now, understand what this means. Require means to demand, to be in need of, to think to be necessary, appropriate, to insist upon by right or authority. In other words, he says, I will require at the hand of every beast, they will have the right and the authority to do something to you. Well, what? We'll find out in a minute. Require at the hand. Require your life at the hand of every beast. In other words, your life and the life of a beast are going to be, your life will be in the hands of a beast, at the hand of every beast. Now, let's look up and see what the word hand means. It doesn't mean just this thing that you use to grasp money with. That's not all it means. Basically, the word hand means power, means, and direction. I will require your lives at the power, the means, and direction of every beast. Understand that now. It will be necessary for your life to be under the power, the means, and direction of every beast. That's what the word hand means. In other words, if you put in the blood, you will then start taking on the personality, the spirit, if you will, the attitude, the passion, the temperament, the disposition of that that you consumed. That's what blood means. Remember that. Passion, temperament, disposition. So now he says, if you eat it, your life will be under the power, means, and direction of every beast. Now let's see if that's true. Power means the ability to control, sway, or influence. The ability to affect strongly. In other words, this will have the ability to affect you. The attitude, the way an animal acts, is going to be influence in your life. It is going to sway you. It's going to influence you. It's going to have authority in your life. You will act like an animal. And I'll prove it in a minute. Just stay with me. So the animal will have power. The beast will have means. Means means that by which something is done. In other words, the avenue, the way that it's going to be done is through the flesh and the blood of the animal, and that's going to have power in your life. The last definition of the word hand means direction. Direction means an authoritative order that directs, manages, supervises, and instructs you on how to do things. So you won't be led by God through a man, so you desire to be directed by a beast through a beast. Now understand what I'm saying here. In order for you to be led by God through a man, he's saying, I'm leading you by someone who's in my image and likeness. Now I'm going to say that again. Some of you guys are sleeping already. Now follow my lips. If God is going to lead you, God will lead you by a man. Now, what does a man and God have in common? They're both in the same image and likeness. Now, let's talk about the beast, the devil. If he's going to lead you, then he has to lead you by a beast. Why? Because what he leads you by has to be in his image and likeness, because he loves to imitate God. So you see, you will be led by a man who's in the image and likeness of God, or you will be led by a beast who's in the image and likeness of a beast. That's the only two choices that you have. There are no others. Now, for you to then make the decision, which one are you following? Now, I know you say, oh, Brother Reuben, we love you. You're the pastor. You're the counselor. You're the preacher. You're the spiritual head. Let's see if you can say that in about 10 minutes. I think you're an animal. And I think the reason that you're an animal is for all the reasons that we've just spoken about. But let's see if you are. Remember, it's the animal sentient principle. Are you being led by a beast who's in the image and likeness of a beast, or are you being led by a man who's in the image and likeness of God? Well, the way you can tell what you're being led by or what you're following is, are you an animal? Well, all we have to do to find out if you're an animal is look up the word. It's so simple. Animal. It comes from the word animus. But it also has roots in the word anilas. And anilas, or rather animal, it comes from two words. Anilas, which means to breathe or exhale, and antha, where we get maranatha or a lot of other words that have to do with an attitude. Anilas means to breathe or exhale, antha, excitement and anger. So what does animal mean? To breathe or exhale, to speak, excitement and anger. See, that's what animal means. You can tell if you're an animal. All I have to do is listen to how you talk. And if you talk excitement, oh, I love that. Oh, yes, I love you. Yes, I do. That's excitement. That excitement will turn just like that to anger when that you love didn't do what you loved. So now, what are you, an animal? You are breathing or exhaling excitement and anger. Already you can see that you're an animal. So you're being led by a beast who's in the image and likeness of the beast. Now, what is it about animals that separate them from plants? Animals are unable to make their own food the way plants do, from inorganic matter by photosynthesis. I told you that this morning. But animal also means a brutish, debased, inhuman person. Animal means something that is like or derived from animals. Attitude. methods, temperament, disposition. But animal also means to be physical rather than mental or spiritual. It also means sensual and gross. So if we haven't put you in the category of an animal yet, don't give up. Because remember, animal came from animus. And animus comes from the word anima, not enema, anima. Oh, don't go home and say, oh, I got the answer, but honey. Please. No. Anima. Animus, anima. A, not E, okay? Now, what does animus mean? The disposition, the passion of an animal. Animus, remember, animal said, see animus. So now we see animus. Now, animus means to have the disposition, the passion, or the feelings of an animal. Well, what else does animus mean? Strong ill will or hatred. That's animus. Now, I don't care who or what you have a strong ill will or hatred for, that's animus. That is an animal. That's beast. You are being led by a beast who's in the image and likeness of a beast, yet you're claiming the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have strong ill will and hatred. Now, why do you have animus? Do you know what English word we get from animus? Animosity. Oh. So you say, but I don't have animus. Bet you got animosity, though.
Oh, yeah.
Animosity. Hatred, ill will, and hostility. Now, I know you have animosity for certain people because I know what you tolerate from yourself and from your children 1,000 times more than you will from others. You have animosity. You're an animal. Now, if God was an animal and had animosity like you do, he would punish us or reward us according to our works. But he said, not by works, lest any man should boast. You see, God's not an animal. So if God doesn't reward us or punish us according to works, then how come you punish and reward according to what people do and still claim that you're following the Lord? You liar. You have animosity. And where did the animosity come from? Animalism. You know what animalism is? The activity, the appetites, and the nature of animals. Isn't it amazing? Three, activity, appetites, and nature of animals. That is animalism, which is animosity, which is animus. See, animals hate other animals. Dogs will bark at other dogs, except during mating season. Sound familiar? He comes home and you're barking at him off. Except if it's mating season. He comes home and he wants to complain about everything until mating season comes along. And then all of a sudden, he has the activity, the appetites, and the nature of animals. That's animalism. You know, one of the things that if you think about it and just look objectively at it, animals spend all day thinking and hunting and eating food. Sound familiar? Get up in the morning, I'm hungry. 10 o'clock, I'm hungry. Noon, I'm hungry. 2 o'clock, I'm hungry. 4 o'clock, I'm hungry. 6 o'clock, what's for dinner? Snack time, I'm hungry. They're animals. That's all they do is think about food, and they're always looking for food. Hunting and eating predatory animals. See, God never created you to be wanting to eat all the time. Animals have to eat all the time. Why? Because to them, it's work to find food. You know, because think of it this way. What if you woke up, and I wish, if I were God, this is what I would do. You know that? I would put legs on your bowl of cornflakes. And them suckers would run faster than you would. And it would take you all morning to catch up with your bowl of cornflakes. And by the time you finally caught it, you would have used so much energy that what you eat isn't going to go to fat. That's why there is no, you never see any overweight lions. I mean, I don't care how much they eat. I mean, it is work to catch their food.
Well, see, when you're an animal, you have to, oh, man, I got to go work for food, and we don't have enough, and it just doesn't stretch in advance, and you're like an animal. God never intended for you to be that way, but you have animus. You have animosity. You breathe and you exhale excitement and anger. See, if you didn't, why would you be so attracted to things that excite, the rides and would twist you and flip you and throw you, and things that excite and make you angry and upset, and then all of a sudden you want the same kind of food, and then you want the same kind of relationships, and it starts getting a little sour, so you have to get angry and upset and break up so that you can make up, because making up is so much fun. Well, what about breaking up? That's so much stupidity. But you're an animal. Now, animals, interestingly enough, will fight to kill and then fight to protect what they killed. Isn't that amazing? They will fight. First, what they will do is the animal will fight in order to kill this thing. And once it kills it, then it will fight to protect it from everything else that wants it. That's an animal. Now, wouldn't it be smarter, and you are the same way. Child, don't you dare do that, and you kill your kids. But someone else comes and says, your child did this. It's my child. How dare you? Take care of your own. Well, you're the one that killed him first. And now that you've killed him, now you're protecting him from the other predators. Isn't that amazing how we act like animals and didn't even know it? Didn't even understand it. In order for the animal not to be an animal, what it should do, the tiger should go out there and protect this poor little gazelle from all the others. But oh no, we'll protect him from the jackals after I kill him. See, so I get to kill him, and then the fact that you want to eat him and do what I did to him, uh-uh. No, 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 no. That's sin. That's wrong. Well, what about when you did it, animal? Ah, that's different. You see how you've become an animal and don't even know it? You see why I'm telling you that there are animals sitting in the church of God everywhere? And you see why God says, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty here. You wanted the truth. You asked for the truth. You wanted wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to give it to you. Let's just see how much you want it after you receive it. You got animus. Animals. See, they mate only to procreate. That's all they care about. There's no passion. There's no... Tigers don't go out in the jungle and say, well, let's get to know each other. I mean, do you come here often? What's your sign? I mean, let's talk about your religious beliefs. How are we going to raise our children? Tigers don't care. On either side of the issue, they just say, hey, baby, I love you, and that's it. I take you to any bar you want, and they got animals coming in both doors. And don't be so hard on them, because we came out of them same doors. I've been known to wear them stripes myself. Animals. But you know, the interesting thing about it is the minute they mate and procreate, the male loses all interest in the female, and vice versa. Now the cubs are all important. Not the Chicago ones, the cubs that you have in your home. Now she is only interested in her cubs. And she fights the male for superiority over the cubs. Until finally the animalistic male says, the hell with it, it's not worth the trouble. And he goes off and finds another mate. Make more cubs. There's always welfare. Let's just make more cubs. See, because men, that's the only time you're important is when you're making cubs. But the minute that happens, she doesn't have the time of day for you. She has bad feelings, animus toward you, animosity toward you. That's sick. That's animalistic. But men, before you get too hard on her, how come you were attracted to an animal? I have never seen a tiger out in the jungle looking to mate with an elephant. I mean, the reason you got that animal is because that's what you are. You're the same kind. But why? Because you are led by a beast who's in the image and likeness of a beast. Now, don't be ashamed to admit that. It's the truth. And the truth is what will make you free. I came to grips with it. I was a beast
following in the image and likeness of the beast and all the characteristics thereof. And still got some of them, by the way. But at least I know where I'm at now. I know how it started, and I know what to do about it. Sad to say, I haven't been as enthusiastic in some areas as I have in others, but I'm man enough to admit it. But animals is animals is animals. And you see, when I come to a family and everybody's fighting for supremacy, I don't want him to eat that. I want her to eat that. I don't want him to do this. I don't want to do this. And the whole battle is, who's going to make the decision? Who's in charge here? Well, what do you have? You have a dog fight to see who's going to be what? Top dog. Top ramen is more like it, but you think it's top dog. No, you're an animal. And on top of that, you're a predatory animal. Predator means an animal. And incidentally, by biological definition, we are animals. Not spiritual. We're of the mammal variety. Predator means an animal who lives by capturing and feeding upon other animals. Well, see, that explains all the animals. But that isn't all that predator means. Let's talk now about those human animals. And the pews are full of them tonight. Predator also means not only one who lives by capturing and feeding upon other animals. I'm not preaching to lions and tigers here. So let's just get rid of that one for the time being. Let's go for the second one. Predator, one who lives by exploiting others. Predator, an animal, one who lives by exploiting others. So the answer, or the question obviously, is do you live by exploiting others? If you are, you have animus. You have animosity. Now, why is it that you have those? Well, you exploit others. And some would say, well, that's one thing I don't do. I'm honest. I don't exploit. You don't even know what the word means. Exploit means to make unethical use of one for one's own advantage or profit. Use of others. Unethical means not conforming to the standards of conduct of a given group. So you see, when you treat each other differently than what we believe as a group we ought to treat each other, you're being unethical, because you sit here and you say, amen, brother. Now, that's the standard of this group. Now, when you don't conform to that standard in the way you treat some people, then what you've done is you've started making unethical use of that person. You're not conforming to the standards of conduct of this given group. And then some would say, well, I don't believe everything this group says, and you're just a man. Fine. Let's say if you're still unethical. It means not conforming to the standards of any group. So now let's find out. Let's take it a smaller group, because you're hung up on group therapy. How do you treat yourself?
Oh, with lots of grace, brother.
I give myself lots of room. I didn't mean it. I was sorry. I love the Lord. I don't understand why I did. I really want to do better. And I'm going to try harder. And oh, thank God for his mercy. Yes, Brother Reuben, don't you just love Jesus? Isn't it wonderful to have his mercy? Because I've been a bad boy. And I've just been bad boy. But I know that God has forgiven me. And brother, I'm just going to try again. That's good. That's a good standard of conduct. That's a good standard of behavior for yourself. And then one of the brethren comes along, or the sister, and does something you don't like, and there goes your standard right out the window. It's kill. Well, what happened? That's unethical. You're exploiting another human being. You're a predator. Don't tell me that you treat the children of one of the other sisters in the church the same way you do your own. You'd be lying in your teeth. You'd be a big, fat liar. Don't tell me that, because it isn't true. And also, do not tell me, ladies, that you treat your husband the way you treat me. Hi, Brother Reuben. Enjoy the message, Brother Reuben. Oh, you're such a blessing, Brother Reuben. That's good. I like that. That's a good standard of behavior. But what happens when your husband comes and says, and it's time for us to... What are you talking about? You're always nagging at me. Oh, wait a minute. That's unethical. You set a different standard when you dealt with me. You're an animal. And husbands, you're the same way. You don't treat your wife the same way that you treat the others in the church, because people say, well, I wonder what's wrong with brother such and such. Oh, sister, may I open the door for you? Yes, I'm so concerned about, are you well, sister? And you go, you let your own family go in the tank. That's unethical. You're exploiting. That's predatory. That's animus. That's animosity. And let me tell you something else, man. How on this God's earth do you expect your wife to respect you the way you treat her when she sees how you treat others? Knowing that you're capable of that, but you reserve that for everyone but her. And don't say, well, I'll treat her for good and then just deal with the rest of you. That would be unethical on the other side of the coin. See, these are animalistic characteristics. You understand? You can't act this way and fool yourself that you're being fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll go to sleep. Your mind will go elsewhere. This food's not for you. This will be for you as you're thinking kibbles and bits, and this is manna from heaven, and it's not what you want. Elpo. Kibbles and bits, kibbles and bits. Come in, there's your little dog, your kibble. I want kibbles and bits. See, that's what you'll be into. Why? Because you are unethical. Unethical also means not conforming to the standards of conduct of one's own character or custom. In other words, you don't treat everyone the way you treat yourself. You don't treat everyone the way you want everyone to treat you. You don't think about everyone the way you want to be thought about. In other words, you're unethical. You're exploiting. You're predatory. You have animosity. You're animus. You're an animal. And how did this all... See, forget about how it started for the time being. Look where you're at. Now, what you want to do is you want to cut off the hamburger and replace it with some other form of toxicity so you can continue to be an animal. Now, let's start it. We started it all the way through. Let's stop it all the way through. Stop being unethical. You don't treat people as Christ treats them. You say, but that's so hard. It's so hard to be Christ and treat people like Christ did. All right, I'll grant you that. I don't agree with it, but I'll grant it to you. You also don't treat people like you treat yourself. Now, if you have the ability to treat yourself that way, why don't you have the ability to treat others? One person, one animal to another, one human being to another. See, on top of everything else, you lie. Now, unethical use means to use someone for your own advantage and your own profit. You exploit them. Now, again, we need to take a look and see exactly what that means. For your own advantage. Advantage means superiority, a favorable position, a favorable circumstance. I did something wrong, that's an unfavorable circumstance, but it's her fault. So now we take my unfavorable circumstance, we blame her for it. Now she has the unfavorable circumstance, and I've got the favorable. That's unethical. That's using someone else for your own advantage. That's using the blood or the life of someone else to cover your own sin. That's predatory. But understand also that Satan worship will use the blood of a created being, whether it's animal or human, and Satan worshipers use both, and they use it to cover their altars and all their abominations. They cover it. And ultimately, and they don't mess around. They just drink it straight. And they'll eat the heart and the liver and anything else. Unmentionables they'll even eat. And relish it, by the way. So see, when you use people for your own advantage, it's nothing more than to try to lie to God, to yourself, and to me, that what's wrong with you is because of somebody else. And that's animalistic. You also use people for your own profit. Profit means gain obtained in a transaction. You won't do anything unless there's gain. Unless there's something in it for you, you won't do it. If it's too hot outside, too cold, you don't feel like it, you don't feel like there's enough profit, you won't even come to church. There's got to be a substantial gain for you. You do nothing without profit. That's predatory, that's unethical, that's animus, that's animalistic. And don't be surprised when your kids say, well, what are you going to give me if I do that? Well, they're animals just like you. I told my animals very early, I'll tell you what you're going to get. Quack! That's what you're going to get. Oh, well, I don't want none of that. So you see, we kind of established that right off the bat. You see, you want to do anything with, you won't do anything unless it's profit. There has to be gain. You have to end up with more. I got cured of that a long time ago with the famous lemon meringue pie routine. I mean, that pie is still stuck in my, I can still taste it when I talk about it. It's stuck in my throat. That little Dickens gave me the biggest slice and scarred me for life, in a good way, but he scarred me for life. Oh, yes. Gain, an increase in advantage. You're not satisfied that God has already called you to be the head of the household. You want to be the mama, too. You want to decide what we're going to buy, how it's going to be prepared. That's too much for that. I say, no, you buy what you want. These are the budgetary constraints. I'll tell you how much we're going to spend. But you go ahead, and I'm going to do it according to what we need. But you see, you want to be the mother, too. You want to, man, don't go shopping with your wife. Do me a favor, okay? Unless you're going to go to push the cart or carry the bag, don't be picking and saying, we need, let the woman do her work. Let her have her position. Besides, it's the only way on this God's earth to keep her out of yours. Yeah, what I'm telling you, this is for your own, it's for your benefit. Gain means to increase in advantage, and God's already given you all that you can have. You haven't even been spiritual head yet, and you want to be mama and dad, and you want to be the preacher, you want to be the counselor, and then on top of that, you walk outside just busting out with wisdom, ain't done a damn thing in your own house, and you go out correcting everybody else's kids on top of that. So you want an increase in advantage. Gain means the act of getting something for oneself. Whatever happened to it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, what happens when you become an animal is all you think about is get, get, get. You don't understand that the way to get is to give, more, one more give than you got get. See, if you were a farmer, you'd eat your seed, and then you'd sit there looking at the dirt for the next 3 months wondering why nothing came up. You don't eat the seed, brother, you plant it. But see, what you want to do is you want to eat the seed. And it's the seed that comes forth abundantly and gives you the advantage. But what you want is you want to get something for yourself. So the first time the wife asks for something, well, how's it going to benefit me? Well, do I want? Do I like it? See, you're into profit. That's an animal. An animal won't do anything unless there's some hog jowls in them for them or something, some meat. They got to have something for them. Animals aren't just going to go out and say, two tigers in the jungle, okay? I said, did you hear about Herman? Lives over there on the other side of the sprayed area there. Yeah, what? Tiger brother. Yeah. Herman's been down with a cold lately, and you just can't seem to get around. Poor guy's starving to death. Oh, isn't that a shame? Why don't you and I go up and down and hunt up a nice, healthy wildebeest for him? And we'll just slash its throat from ear to ear and just drag the life right out of it. And then we'll drag it over to old Herm. Until Herm gets back on his feet, and then he can hunt for himself. It's the hell with Herman. Let him get his own meat. And what is it how you act? As long as your cupboards are full, you don't give a damn. You never call and say, how's brother such a? Can I help with something, brother? Uh-uh. The only time you call is when Mother Hubbard's on your back. And if your cupboard is bare, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I'm talking to that beast in you. And the only time you ever move is when you need to hunt for yourself. Other than that, you ain't moving a finger. You don't care about anybody else. And I'm telling you, this is a spiritual problem, and I'm telling you how it happened, because you're acting like the beast who's in the image and likeness of the big beast, the spirit of Antichrist, the one that has to get something for itself. Profit or gain also means to get it in competition. It's very hard to give these people anything. See, they have to get it in competition. Well, you would think that after all this time he would have thought of me and gave me. It's like, well, I deserve it. It has to be a competition. You can't say, well, isn't it nice that Brother Reuben, the Lord thought to use Brother Reuben or Brother this or Sister that to help me with this. Well, I wonder what her guilt trip is that she wanted to do this for. See, you have to get it in competition. You can't just accept it as grace and a gift from God. You're an animal. You have to compete in everything. I'm better at using this. I'm faster. I'm quicker. I'm this. No, you're only dumber. Now, when I say, boy, you won in that competition, what you talking about, Willis? Well, you want to be first in everything. How about first in stupid? Unethical also means to win. Only have one desire, to win. You see, you're hooked up in getting something for yourself. Now I walk into your family, and the scripture that God spoke, as you would that men would do unto you, do you so even unto them. So I walk into your family, and everybody's in the act of getting something for themselves. And that's really what the battle is. And what did Satan use to defeat your family? Scripture? Misapplied, misinterpreted, perverted, but he had to use scripture. See, Satan is not as stupid as you are. He knows he can only screw you up by misapplying scripture. You're not smart enough that the only way to get healed is to properly apply scripture. Don't you understand? Nothing moves without God, or he wouldn't be God. If anybody could do something without his permission, without using him, without using the tools that he gave us, then he would no longer be God. So see, Satan is smart enough to know that. He can't do a blessed thing without using the Lord. Now, why is it that when Satan brings you a cigarette or anger or judgment of someone, you say, that's your interpretation. I got to see that, brother. I think I'll go to another church and see if someone else preaches different. You say, hey, thanks for the Boy, and the whole thing is gone in one puff, isn't it? How come you don't question interpretations then? How come you don't come up with all these analogies and all this? Oh, well, brother, I'm kind of sleepy right now. I can't listen to this. Let's go have a beer. Well, I don't know, not right now. You're gone. I mean, just like that. Bolt of lightning, Flash Gordon, come to life. I mean, you're gone. See, this is the unethical use of God's people. This is how the beast uses God's people. This makes the argument and is proof that you are an animal and no longer in the image and likeness of God. Because if you act like this, how can you be in the image and likeness of God? I mean, image and likeness means to look like, act like, talk like. Now, how can you be these things and be in the image and likeness of God? Very easy. Take the capital G off and put a little G on there. For there be God's many and Lord's many. Don't go around kidding yourself that you are following and desiring to follow the Lord Jesus Christ when in fact you're acting like an animal. What are you in the image and likeness of? That'll tell you who you're following. And all of this happens when you become a blood brother with animals by mingling their blood with yours, by eating flesh and blood. That's what starts the whole thing. Now, some would say, and this tape is going to go on, where in the world did he get that? In Genesis, my stupid brother. In Genesis, God said, don't eat the blood or the flesh. Don't eat the flesh or the blood thereof. I mean, how much more clear can it be? Adam and Eve didn't get thrown out of the garden because they robbed a bank, because they ate wrong. Noah didn't get in trouble after the flood because he cussed. He drank wrong. He misused food. Instead of eating the grapes, he stomped on them and fermented him, and got drunk on him. And then he exposed himself, or rather he was looked upon by his brothers. He was uncovered by his sons. It all starts over food all the time. Esau and Jacob, food again. I mean, the list goes, Cain and Abel, their argument with God was over food. You get the salad and we get the meat. That's what Cain wanted. I said, no, don't you understand? God gets the fat. God gets the flesh. You bring the beast. When Noah went into the ark, he said, bring two of all the unclean beasts, two of each one, male and female.
so they can procreate afterwards. But he said, but of the clean beasts, bring them by sevens. Well, why? Because Noah made sacrifices with the clean beasts to God. He built an altar and made sacrifices. Do you think God would have been pleased if he'd eaten them? Of course not. So you see, don't eat the sacrifice, is what I'm telling you. This is unethical. And you know, the thing that I want to leave you with is the lifespan of man has gone from eternal to 900 plus down to the present average of 50 to 60 years old, all in direct correlation to the diet. Doesn't matter how much medical science has increased. It doesn't matter how many more drugs and chemicals and technology and, quote, surgical procedures they have. They're still dying off earlier and earlier and earlier. They just don't know what caused it. You and I do. So you see, this isn't just a situation that your marriage isn't going to work. I'm also telling you, you're going to die before you should have. See, if the Lord doesn't come back, one day I'm going to give up the ghost. But ain't nothing going to kill me. I refuse to die. See, die, by definition, means to have something kill you. Now, if God is eternal and he's defeated sickness, death, and the grave, then how can sickness, death, and the grave kill me? Now, I didn't say I wasn't going to give up the ghost if the Lord doesn't return. I didn't say it. What I say, nothing going to kill me. Why? Because that's what God promised me. Now, that promise comes with some behavior modification on my part, which means he says, I'm not going to let those things kill you, but all you have to do is don't let them inside of you so they can kill you. In other words, keep your mouth shut. You say, well, Brother Reuben, this is so hard. What are we going to do? How can I stop from eating this? And how? Keep your mouth shut. Don't give me excuses. If you got your mouth shut, you can't make excuses, and you can't stuff it either. You can't ram it, jam it, or cram it if you keep your mouth shut, can you? See, so the simple part is just shut up. Just shut up, that's all. That's as simple as it is. But understand, again, if you have animosity, if you have ill will, hatred, if you're using people unethically, and yourself, by the way, and each other as husbands and wives. You see, one of the things, ladies, and gentlemen too, if we have any here, I get a little bit perturbed inside when I watch you ladies, how you'll this and this, and you just put on eyebrows and you'll do this, and dresses, and I'm not opposed to that, to go show all of that to a bunch of heathens, that you wouldn't be caught dead not looking good out there. But you'll come home, and you could care less about what's inside. You could care less about the intimate side of you that your husband, only for your husband's eyes. That, like it or lump it, that, if you love me, that's what you got in the beginning, and that's what you're stuck with. Oh, really? Well, if that's true, then how come it doesn't like it or lump it for everybody out there? Why all the... How come all of them, How come you want to be so, put your best out there to please the eyes of others, and yet for your own husband, you could care less. You walk around looking like something the cat refused to drag in. You had to crawl in on your own. Some of you, the way you dress around the house is sickening. But I understand it's only your husband. If I were God, I would drag you from the back of the neck and I would make you go to work like that every day for a week. And then I'd teach you a lesson. But it's only your husband. And husbands, you're no better. I mean, some cute little thing walks by and the first thing you're doing is smoothing down your eyebrows, huh? But you'll lay around the house with your gut hanging out, sounding like the Cave of the Winds, and you don't care. But it's only your wife. That's unethical, brother. That's wrong. You wouldn't walk outside with no half undressed with your gut hanging out. You wouldn't do that out there. I mean, show some concern for your family. I mean, come out dressed. Come out looking like a man. Come out looking like something you'd be willing to show the whole world. It's unethical, ladies. It's unethical, men, not to do that. I mean, comb your hair, even if you're just at home. I bet you I could go to any one of you ladies or you gentlemen to your workplace, and I would find...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. See, because the world's looking at that. And then I go to your home, and no self-respecting spider would spend more than 10 minutes there. Well, what happened with this unethical use of one another? Well, see, what happened is you got the poor sucker trapped now, or suckerette, whatever the case may be. And now they are bound by this vow that they made in the sight of God, till death do us part. I made no such vow to you or anybody else. I ain't dying for you. Are you crazy? There's something wrong with the mentality of people who want to be unethical. You would never go to work and treat your boss, who is only the representative of the corporate head. You would never treat him who represents the corporate head the way you treat me, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. You would never even think about it. You wouldn't call him in the middle of the night to complain about how sisters at such and such at the nest of death didn't do this or didn't do that. You would never do that. But boy, you're unethical with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're unethical with his representative. And I'm just not talking about me. All of us represent the truth. All of us represent Jesus Christ, and you're animals to one another. And I think it's time to stop. It's just not enough to put away the hamburgers. I mean, we got to put away all the substitutes and the behavior that came with it. And you ought to be able and think enough of each other that you would take care of yourself on the intimate level the same way that you do on the superficial level. I mean, do they out there deserve more than we do as a family? Not even as much. But I have no problem with treating them equal, but certainly not superior. That's unethical. And if I've done it to any of you, please make me aware of it, and I will apologize and I will stop, because I, honest to God, am not aware that I've ever come to any of your homes not fully dressed, completely clean, combed, presentable, and my best, such as it is, the best that I have. I never remember coming to church not fully prepared, having studied with all the time that was at my disposal to bring you the best that I could, that I was capable of. To the degree that I opened myself up to God, I brought you the best that I was capable of. Not once, not twice, but every single time that I've come here. Why can't you do the same? Because you're unethical, that's why. And you act like an animal. And that's why your children are so much in turmoil. They say, well, I know we listen there, and you want me to act that way, but then when I act like you, which I have to obey you, then you spank me. You put me on restrictions for obeying you. And you give them mixed conflict, mixed messages about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you turn them into animals. And pretty soon, everybody's spraying off their territory, aren't they? That's sickening and disgusting. There's nothing more sickening than the setting of boundaries, the way the animals do, whether they're human animals or animals. They all do it the same way. They just pick a boundary, and they say, here's where I'm PO'd if you step over this. And that's the way we treat one another. And you see how it started. Do not eat the flesh or the blood thereof. It makes you habitual. You start taking in toxins of every description. And it's that accumulation of toxins that now makes you in the image and likeness of the beast. You act this way and proclaim Jesus Christ. Something wrong there. That's not right. And that needs to be changed. And I've done the best I can with this. I don't know what's coming up Wednesday. But if it's more of the same, then it's more of the same. If we still have some Fidos in here, then we're going to get the same. I mean, I don't know. See, I won't know till tonight. When I get home, I usually start reading, and immediately I know which direction it's going to go. And if it's kibbles and bits again, so be it. And it's going to be that way until we're out of animals here. So we start treating one another as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And understand this. You want to have a right relationship? You want to live in the family of God? Then husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So when you start putting others first, everything, if you have a mate, it's going to turn right. If you don't, you're going to get a right one. But not until you start treating people as Christ did. and not the way the beast does. And you have to understand, you have to be honest with yourself. I'm not here to convict you. I'm here to tell you what causes it. You know which one of you been to the dance, Cindy. And if this slipper fits you, for God's sake, put it on before I show up with some galoshes. Sooner or later, you're going to wear this. I mean, so let's just get it over with. Let's get this ball over with, and let's go on to something else. Agreed? Amen. Brother Weldon, would you close the service in prayer? And it's 8:30, and we don't care what Mammy don't laugh.